Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm executive producer at iHeart Podcasts, and how the tech are you? So, on Fridays, I typically will do a news roundup of the tech news that happened over the previous week. And today, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to cover one story in particular that really requires a lot more time and attention than what I would normally give. So we're going to really dive into it. Also, we will continue the story of Rooster Teeth. I do have at least two more parts for that. I thought it was just going to be a two-parter. But man, covering what happened over the last few years requires a lot more care and effort as well. So let's get to today's topic, which of course is the United States ban on TikTok, which isn't a sure thing yet. I want to be sure to say that right up front. But the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill this week that ultimately could lead to a ban on TikTok if the bill ends up being passed into law. And there are a couple of steps that have to happen before that becomes, you know, reality. But there's a ton of stuff going on here, including things that have nothing to do with tech, but everything that happens with money and politics. This is why you can't separate tech out from those things. I know there are a lot of people who complain about, you know, news stories where they're like, just cover the tech, don't talk about politics. That's not the way the world works. The world doesn't work with everything being in these separate silos that have no connection with each other. Politics and tech shape each other. Now, I would say that this particular story gets really gross because, in my opinion, the entirety of this focus on TikTok is misguided. I'm not saying that TikTok is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But I am saying that this whole thing misses the point, in my opinion. I also think it really exposes a ton of problems with America's political system, but these aren't things that I think anyone finds surprising. I think everyone, at least on some level, is aware that America's political system has issues. But we're going to get to all that. First, what is this bill and how did we get here? Well, the bill is H.R. 7521. It's also known as the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And to quote the text of the bill directly, it is, quote, to protect the national security of the United States from the threat posed by foreign adversary-controlled applications such as TikTok and any successor application or service and any other application or service developed or provided by ByteDance Limited or any entity under the control of ByteDance Limited. End quote. So it's clear that this bill specifically targets TikTok's parent company ByteDance Limited, not just any Chinese-owned parent company or foreign-owned company. However, the text of the actual bill does get far more general, and ultimately it does cover, quote, foreign adversary-controlled applications, end quote. So it's not just for TikTok, but it uses TikTok as sort of the primary example, the paradigm, if you will. And foreign adversary in this context doesn't just mean a country that is on particularly unfriendly terms with the good old US of A. It's not just countries we've got beef with. It covers any entity, person, organization, company, etc., that resides within the borders of such a country. So while the phrase foreign adversary seems to suggest like a nation or state-controlled entity, it's actually more broad than that. It's really any person or company that exists in such a country that then would be identified in the context of this bill as a foreign adversary. So essentially, the bill would require any app that ultimately belongs to an entity that resides or exists within a country that had been identified as a foreign adversary to the United States. And there's a whole code that explains how that designation happens. Well, if this bill is enacted into law, then any such app currently available within the United States would have 180 days before a ban is imposed by the U.S. government. To avoid the ban, the foreign adversary can divest itself of the app. That is, sell the app or some version, part of the app, to some other entity that is not a foreign adversary to the United States. Also in the future, should the U.S. president identify a new country as a foreign adversary? Let's just say that for some reason, the president says that, France is a foreign adversary. At that point, then apps that originated out of France would have 180 days to comply with this law before a ban would fall upon them like a bag of hammers. So how do you ban an app? How does that work? Well, this bill says the U.S. would go after essentially the distribution infrastructure for apps, like the app stores, in other words. Section A of this bill states that, quote, it shall be unlawful for any entity to distribute, maintain, or update, or enable the distribution, maintenance, or updating of a foreign adversary-controlled application, end quote. And then the section goes on, but essentially this bill would target stuff like the iOS App Store or the Android App Store. It also includes internet hosting services that would allow for the updating and maintenance of those apps. So not only would the app disappear from app stores within the United States, the apps would essentially lose all functionality because what the U.S. is saying is you can't allow traffic to go to these apps. At the very least, you wouldn't be able to update the apps anymore within the United States. And presumably that would mean that you wouldn't get notifications, you wouldn't be able to access new material, etc. Now, if these companies fail to comply with the law, they face a fine of $5,000 per U.S. user of that app. So for TikTok, that's more than 150 million American users. So by my math, that's like $750 billion in fines, which means that obviously these companies that are largely U.S.-based would end all support for TikTok rather than face a, you know, nearly $1 trillion fine. The bill also calls for the foreign adversary-controlled app to provide user data upon request so that the user would be able to port their information to some alternative application. Now, I'm not entirely certain how that could be achieved in a reasonable way. I suspect that this, from a technical perspective, is largely difficult, at the very least, possibly impossible to achieve so that you could port your TikTok profile to something else. It doesn't just work that way. It's not apples to apples. To me, this seems like a pretty feeble attempt to placate TikTok users who would otherwise be really upset to lose the content that they had created and consumed on an app like TikTok. So the implication seems to be, don't worry, we've put in a legal requirement that TikTok would have to give you all your stuff so that you can, you know, head on over to Instagram Reels and do it all over there or something like that. If the foreign adversary fails to comply with this part of the law, then they would be fined $500 per active user in the US, which is not nearly as hefty a hit, obviously. But also, I'm not sure how the US would ever collect on that because, again, if it's a foreign adversary controlled app, I don't know that there's the leverage to force the foreign adversary to pay up the fine. You could definitely go off against the US infrastructure. That the government would be able to do, at least initially. I'm sure it would be immediately challenged in court, but this bill would at least allow for that approach. I don't know how you would do it for a foreign adversary. Like, you could point to the company and say, you owe us X amount of money. And the company says, okay, but we're over here, then you're over there. So I don't know. The bill goes on to single out TikTok and ByteDance again, but also states that the president can send a report to Congress identifying other apps that meet certain criteria, including specific threats to U.S. national security, as well as what aspects of the app would need to be divested in order to avoid a ban. So if the president says, hey, this other app also I want to put under the same list of restrictions, you would have to have the president send that message to Congress and say specifically how this app represents a threat to national security. You can't just have a blanket approach. Presumably, after a public report and the detailed account to Congress, the designation would then be acknowledged and the clock would begin to tick for that app. Now, there's a bit more to the bill, including what measures a party can take to challenge the bill, but I think that's enough to have a conversation about this. By the way, the bill is just 13 pages long. And by 13 pages long, I mean, like, you got to remember, bills have lots of indented segments, so it's not even a full page of material. It's a pretty easy read, by the way. There's hardly any jargon in it. It isn't like one of those where you're like, whereas and so forth and a forthwith and et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't come across like that. So I urge all of y'all to check it out if you prefer to have firsthand knowledge of a text, as opposed to just relying on news articles and opinion pieces, some of which I suspect the writers never read the bill in the first place. Again, that's HR 7521. And yeah, it's a quick read. It's not a fun read, but it is quick. So check it out. Now, for TikTok specifically, this bill essentially says either ByteDance sells TikTok to some other entity, an entity that does not reside or exist inside an adversarial country, or we will bring down the power of the US government on the distribution infrastructure for the app to make sure that no one in the US can get it or use it. That's a pretty massive ultimatum. You know, divest TikTok or the TikTok will face a national ban. So how did we get here? Now, that question is actually super complex because there are a lot of different reasons why various political leaders have taken aim at TikTok in particular. Now, chief among them is that ByteDance is a Chinese company, and the Chinese government has been known to get very involved with Chinese enterprises. It's common in China for large companies to reserve a spot at the highest levels of company oversight and governance for a representative of the Chinese Communist Party. So there's this perception that the Chinese Communist Party has literally a seat at the table of all these massive companies in China. Famously, China enacted a national intelligence law in 2017 that compels Chinese citizens and organizations to, quote, support national intelligence work, end quote, and that the government can actually demand cooperation that they do so. That's covered under Articles 7 and 14 of that 2017 law. So one interpretation of this law is that the Chinese government could go to ByteDance and demand that the company share all the data it has through an app like TikTok and ByteDance would be required by Chinese law to do so. They would have to hand that data over to the Chinese Communist Party. Now, if that information included sensitive data that could compromise the national security of the United States, that's a problem. If, in fact, this would serve as a type of espionage, that's a huge issue. But that's a big if. And here's the thing. If the possibility exists, unfortunately, that's enough. It's kind of like trying to undermine democracy. You don't actually have to compromise voting machines to undermine democracy. All you have to do is prove that it's possible to compromise a voting machine. If you prove it's possible, well, then you insert doubt into the minds of citizens. Because if it's possible to manipulate votes, well, then you can never be sure that the votes that came out actually reflect the will of the people, right? You can't be sure that the results of any election are legitimate. And by undermining the confidence people have in the process, you undermine democracy itself, democracy with a big D. The doubt is all that's needed. So if it's possible, the Chinese Communist Party could force ByteDance to hand over gobs of data belonging to American citizens. That's all that's needed to serve as a threat, even if the actual scenario never happens. So you could argue, well, technically, yeah, it's possible, but it hasn't happened, and everyone at ByteDance has expressed that this would never happen. That's not good enough, at least not in the eyes of the leaders who are concerned about this. Okay, I've been ranting for a bit, but we've got a ton more to get through about this issue. So let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, so I was talking earlier about how the perception of a threat is the same thing as a threat in the eyes of politics. Like, it doesn't matter if the threat is real or not, which is infuriating, but it's also unfortunately true. TikTok and ByteDance representatives have said numerous times that China's Communist Party has never interfered, has never been able to access this information, and that, in fact, TikTok has taken steps to make sure to prevent that eventuality. So, for example, TikTok moved all U.S. citizen data to servers within the United States that would not be accessible by Chinese Communist Party representatives. These servers belong to the U.S. company Oracle. So the company that actually is overseeing the servers is an American company that does not have ties to ByteDance. This was all part of Project Texas. As TikTok explains, that project has five pillars that encompass independent governance, data protection and access control, software assurance, content assurance, and monitoring and compliance. TikTok says it, quote, spent the last 2 years developing a framework through discussions with the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, and we've spent roughly $1.5 billion to date on implementation, end quote. So what TikTok is saying is, hey, we've been working in good faith with the U.S. government for years now to ensure that this data remains safe and secure and within the boundaries and borders of the United States. Part of those efforts included the formation of a subsidiary called TikTok U.S. Data Security, which is, quote, an entirely independent business entity tasked with managing all business functions that require access to user data identified by the U.S. government as needing additional protection, and safeguarding the systems that deliver content on the app in the U.S. to ensure that it is free from foreign manipulation, end quote. Now, there's a ton more to say about TikTok's efforts to avoid the situation that would fall on the company if this bill were to get passed into law, but I urge you to check out TikTok's post on the matter. You can find it at usds.tiktok.com/usds-about. That's a lot, but that's where you can read up on TikTok's policies here. Now, I will also add, there have been reports, whether legitimate or not, people in China allegedly accessing TikTok data. Not always U.S. citizen data, but that, in fact, ByteDance employees have been able to access user information through TikTok. So there are a lot of conflicting reports about whether or not TikTok's infrastructure is sort of air-gapped from China or not. And there are conflicting reports about whether ByteDance has access to the information. That uncertainty has further fueled the political scenario that we're in today. Now, why did Project Texas happen in the first place? Well, it became a necessity because back in 2020, the then U.S. President, Donald Trump, had identified TikTok as a threat to national security. Now, in many ways, this was really a part of a larger trade conflict that the United States had with China at that time. Trump and China had engaged in sort of a trade war with one another. And some argued that Trump's reasoning was based more on a desire to find leverage against China and not so much about responding to a perceived threat to national security. So some were saying that the national security message was really just kind of a front and that really this was more of the trade situation. Others felt that this was just the latest in a very long line of xenophobic positions that various U.S. leaders have taken over the years. And this is like, not related to any specific party. This has happened over and over with leaders across all different political ideologies that despite the fact that America is made up of a people who mostly come from other places, apart from Native Americans who were here before everybody else, there's still a really healthy distrust among some circles of citizens of anyone who comes from anywhere other than the United States. In order to really see this in action, like highlighted to an absurd degree, just watch footage of any wrestling promotion from the 1970s to the early 2000s in which the foreigner gimmick was used to establish a heel or a bad guy. You would get people chanting, USA, USA, USA. It's the jingoism is ridiculous at that level, but it does kind of highlight something that was present in other parts of society just to an absurd degree. But whatever Trump's motivation was, there were plenty of critics who said there were very good reasons to be concerned about TikTok. And right away, the folks at TikTok got to work creating a system that would attempt to mollify the concerns of U.S. critics. Now, interestingly, this week, Donald Trump has argued that a ban on TikTok would be a bad idea. And we'll get into why he has reversed his position after he led the charge to go after TikTok just 4 years ago. Spoiler alert, it probably has a lot to do with gobs and gobs of money, as well as an axe he has to grind against one of TikTok's competitors. All right, so one reason that U.S. leaders have sought a ban on TikTok has to do with this perceived threat of Chinese espionage. Never mind if it's a real threat or not, the perception is all that matters. that American citizens, through their obsession and use of this app, would essentially be handing over loads of information and intelligence to a foreign adversary, and the United States would be weakened from a national security level. But that's not the only reason some leaders have their sights set on TikTok. Another is a concern that the app is manipulating users, particularly young users, either intentionally or otherwise, by algorithmically sharing misinformation, propaganda, and harmful material. So if we assume there's an intentionality to this, that TikTok is purposefully doing this, then there's a fear that TikTok, through influence from ByteDance and then by extension the Chinese Communist Party, would use this app to deliver, say, Chinese propaganda to US users. You know, this is the someone, please think of the children argument. Now, I would argue that even if this were true, it's a dumb reason to specifically target TikTok. In fact, it's a dumb reason to target apps that are controlled by a foreign adversary. So why do I think it's a dumb idea? Well, I think it's a dumb idea because China is already doing this on all social apps out there. They are flooding social apps with propaganda and misinformation. We've actually seen plenty of cases in which Chinese-backed agents have created and shared misinformation across platforms that include Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter, among others. China doesn't even need to have back-end access to any of these platforms to do it. They don't have back-end access to Meta or to X. They don't own those platforms, but they don't need to in order to meet the goal of flooding social media with misinformation in an attempt to disrupt or manipulate the American public. Whether TikTok has a Chinese parent company or not, in no way changes how China is using social media to target Americans. I guarantee you, if this bill became law, and if ByteDance was compelled to divest itself of TikTok, that would not stop China from using TikTok to deliver misinformation. Because they don't need back-end access to do that. They just post, just like anybody else. So yeah, that's a really dumb reason to single out TikTok, in my opinion. There's a legitimate concern that TikTok's recommendation algorithm can create a bad situation or make a bad situation way worse than it was, because engaging with content on TikTok essentially tells the app, hey, this is the kind of thing I'm into. Now, at that point, the app starts to pull similar content to serve up to you. Like, people who like this typically like that. So let's serve that to this user now. And if you've indicated that you like a particular kind of content, the app's going to make sure to bring other stuff like that to your attention, because the app's goal is to keep you on the app for as long as possible, or to bring you back to the app whenever you stop to go do something else. So if the algorithm was just serving up random stuff and most of it didn't appeal to you, well, you would probably lose interest in the app and you'd stop using it. That's not good for the app. So if you watch a video all the way through, and let's say that video promoted misinformation or an extremist stance on a particular subject, well, you'd be more likely to see similar stuff in the future. And that could be one factor that could help lead a person to adopt more radical views of their own. I'm not going to suggest that TikTok on its own is responsible for radicalizing populations of people, but it can be a contributing factor. However, this is the case with lots of recommendation algorithms, not just on TikTok, not just on foreign controlled apps. Algorithms are amoral. They don't judge the content. They're just looking for stuff that keeps you on the respective platform, the stuff that keeps you engaged and your eyeballs glued to the screen. It doesn't matter to these apps if the content happens to be cute puppies or, you know, like dude bros who are pumping out a set of tricep dips, or if it's some random person complaining about, you know, liberal politics or conservative politics. The algorithm doesn't care what's in the posts. It just cares that you care. And that's true on Facebook and other places, not just TikTok. So again, it makes no sense to single out TikTok for this problem, because it's not a problem that's just a TikTok problem. This is a bigger issue. So either way, singling out TikTok simply because it has a Chinese parent company is really short-sighted. The problems associated with recommendation algorithms are real, in my opinion. I do think recommendation algorithms cause a lot of issues or exacerbate a lot of problems. Maybe they don't cause them. but I think they can make them way worse. If there's already a seed there, they can really make that seed grow into a pretty toxic plant. They ignore international borders. This is not something that's specific to Chinese-owned companies. It might be possible for Chinese interference to force ByteDance to in turn force TikTok to manipulate the recommendation algorithm and skew it in some way, but that's not really necessary. You don't need to go to that length. The skewing just happens through the use of the app itself. However, just because there might be a possibility is all it takes, because again, it's the perceived threat that's important, not whether or not the threat is real. Anyway, a ton of politicians have expressed concerns that content on TikTok can be mentally harmful to users, that it can promote dangerous activities and stunts, and it can radicalize individuals, and it can reinforce harmful self-images, and I can't necessarily argue against that, other than to say the problem is much bigger than just TikTok. As for data collection, I've said this on the show before too. Data collection can be a problem, but again, it doesn't have to be a foreign-owned app that creates this problem. All of these different apps and platforms are collecting huge amounts of information. Meta is collecting truckloads of data on all of its users every single day. And a lot of this information ends up making its way to markets. There are companies that buy and sell information about people. And you don't have to be the company behind the platform to access that information. You can just purchase it on the market. So arguably, you don't even have to have any interest in a particular app at all in order to take advantage of how those apps are collecting data. You can just purchase data from data brokers. And that's a problem that is independent of ownership of these platforms. So again, to actually address the problem of data collection, you can't just look at the app itself. You've got to look at the larger ecosystem. If all you're doing is stopping one app from being owned by a foreign company, you're plugging a tiny leak in a dam that has a massive crack all the way through the middle of it. And you're not really helping. Again, in my opinion. Okay, we're not done yet. We've got more to say about this whole situation. But before we get to that, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsors.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, we're back. So some U.S. leaders are worried that TikTok represents a data collection tool for the Chinese Communist Party. Some leaders are worried TikTok use is harmful on a more individual level. Some are worried that it's a misinformation delivery system. Some are arguing that it's a combination of all of these things. And that's what led to the House of Representatives in the United States voting overwhelmingly in favor of passing this bill that would ban TikTok
unless it was divested from ByteDance, if it becomes law. And by overwhelming, I mean it passed 352-65. So 352 representatives voted in favor of it. Only 65 voted opposed. 50 of those were Democrats, 15 were Republican. Now, that doesn't mean that this automatically becomes law. That's not how it works here in the United States. So the bill then must go to the U.S. Senate, and the Senate has the opportunity to debate the bill, potentially to make changes to it before voting on it. And there's no guarantee that if the Senate does vote on this, because maybe they don't, but if they do vote on it, there's no guarantee they're going to follow the lead of the House of Representatives. President Joe Biden has indicated that he would sign such a bill into law if it makes it to his desk. So if the Senate does vote in favor of this bill, it's unlikely that Biden would veto it. It seems pretty likely that he would sign it into law. But these are still big ifs. And here's where we get into a whole bunch of politics. So when this bill was coming up for a House vote, TikTok urged some of its users to reach out to their local representatives to urge them to vote against the bill. And reportedly, tons of young people followed that request. And many of them were under the age of 18. That means they're not legally allowed to vote. You can't vote until you're 18. And that makes their voices carry far less weight, if I'm being honest. A politician will pay attention if constituents of a voting age reach out to express an opinion about a particular piece of legislation. This is because politicians, generally speaking, like to get reelected. But if constituents aren't legally able to vote, well, there's not really any pressure there. Various folks in politics stated that kids were flooding office phone lines about this upcoming ban, and most of them had no clue what Congress is, what the House of Representatives happens to be, what a representative is. There was a lot of ignorance being reported. And so staffers were having to field all these calls from children who were just upset that an app they liked was targeted, but they clearly had little to no idea what they were supposed to actually do. And so this plan backfired. A lot of representatives had this experience and they said, see, you can see how this app is manipulating American children. That proves that our concerns are valid. So womp womp, TikTok's plan ended up kind of cementing one of the perceived threats that leaders have about this app. However, that being said, a whole bunch of TikTok's users are of voting age. Like, it might have been all the kids who were calling in, but that doesn't mean that only kids are using TikTok. Like, 75% of TikTok's users, at least, are of voting age. This is according to explodingtopics.com, which has a page on TikTok's demographics. And it says 1 in 4 TikTok users are under the age of 20. So even saying 75% is being conservative, because obviously under the age of 20, anyone who's 18 or 19 can still vote in the United States. So some of that 1 in 4 statistic are still of voting age. So at least 75% of TikTok users in America are of voting age. The majority of users on TikTok are between the ages of 18 and 24. That is a lot of young people who are eligible to vote. So there is a worry among the U.S. Senate that supporting a bill that would ban this app would in turn sour the users who are in that age range. In an election year, which it is here in the United States, with an uncertain outcome where you don't know who's going to come out up front, you know, there's a gamble that you would take to support a bill that would be incredibly unpopular among young voters. And not everyone in the Senate is really eager to take that gamble. So there's a real reason that a lot of senators, a lot of Democrats in particular, are not eager to go along with this bill because it could mean losing the support of young voters. Now, this doesn't mean that the senators necessarily disagree with the premise of the bill, you know, that TikTok could pose as a potential threat to U.S. national security. Maybe they actually believe that, but they wouldn't necessarily like the consequences that would come with supporting such a bill. There could be a serious political backlash. So would young voters actually turn on leaders who voted in favor of banning TikTok? That's hard to say. I suspect a lot of senators worry that it's all it would take, that just by opposing this app, it would make voters say, that's it, I'm switching to the other side. You know, forget all the other issues
that I disagree with politically or ideologically, I'm going to swap because they banned TikTok. I don't know if that's actually true. That seems to me to not give enough credence to individual beliefs, but I don't know. I'm also old, so who knows? But anyway, all of that discussion is really for a different podcast. So the thought that senators would vote against their own convictions in order to preserve their political position is not very fun to think about. It kind of goes against the idealism that Americans are urged to adopt. But we all suspect, or at least feel, like this is something that happens quite a bit. And you could argue that a senator is actually just voting in line with their constituents. That makes it a little bit easier to swallow, right? If you vote against your own beliefs because the people you represent believe something else, that seems far more noble than you voting against your own beliefs just so that you get reelected in the future. Now let's get back to Donald Trump. As I said earlier, in 2020, he famously targeted TikTok. He issued an executive order, quote, addressing the threat posed by TikTok, end quote. Now, that executive order demanded that ByteDance divest itself of TikTok and allow an American company to acquire it or else face a ban, which sounds kind of familiar, right? Trump cited concerns of Chinese interference in American affairs, including threats to U.S. economy and national security, as reasons for this order. The executive order never went into effect, partly because of a legal challenge against the order that was brought in a federal court. But now, Trump has reversed his position on TikTok. He has said that a ban on TikTok would be a bad idea. So what gives? What has changed in the last 4 years that would cause such a dramatic reversal? Well, a lot of the following would be based on assumptions that various people have made, but let's start with what Trump has said publicly. One thing he has mentioned is that a lot of people love TikTok, and that, quote, a lot of young kids on TikTok will go crazy without it, end quote. But, you know, that was true in 2020, too. It's not like in 2020 also, I guess I should say, not 2022. But it was true in 2020, so that doesn't seem like it should be enough to change his position unless, over time, he's developed more of an appreciation for how many people love their ding-dang TikToks. Like, that was never in doubt. But here's another potential reason for his change of heart. And that reason has a name, and that name is Jeff Yass. So who is Jeff Yass? He's a conservative billionaire. And by that, I mean he's worth nearly $30 billion, and he's contributed significantly to multiple conservative political organizations and campaigns over the years. He's also a significant investor in ByteDance. His investment firm reportedly owns a 15% stake in ByteDance. Obviously, ByteDance's value hinges largely on TikTok remaining available in the United States. So Trump, as the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party in the presidential election, has a very strong incentive to not upset Yass's apple cart. Yass has donated a lot of money to a political organization called Club for Growth, which earlier actually opposed Trump's nomination as the Republican candidate. And it spent a lot of money trying to support alternative candidates, but none of that worked because the voters didn't care. And I'm pretty sure with a lot of grinding of teeth, the Club of Growth shifted its stance to align with Trump, and Trump has said publicly, quote, we're back in love, end quote, in response. I'm not kidding about that. I'm not paraphrasing. That's what Trump has said about his relationship with this organization. So you could argue that Trump's reversal in stance has a lot more to do with him aligning with money that would support him in his effort to become president again than it does with a fundamental change of heart. And to me, it seems like a pretty safe bet. But there are also other reasons. Trump has said that one consequence of a ban on TikTok is that that would be incredibly beneficial to another company, namely Meta. And Trump has identified Meta as an enemy of the people. Now, a ton of the reason behind that deals with perceptions that Meta somehow interfered in the 2020 election by perhaps suppressing information that would have helped Trump or promoting information that would harm Trump politically. Now, I'll note that there are Democrat leaders who feel that the exact opposite scenario happened. that in fact Meta was responsible for promoting misinformation or promoting Trump and suppressing information that would have been critical. So it's interesting to me that from both political sides, there are completely opposite views as to what happened on Meta in the 2020 election. There's also the whole element of foreign interference using platforms like Facebook to manipulate voters. We know that happens. We know that Russia and China both have held massive campaigns. I guess really what it boils down to is that Meta is a pretty lousy company from a political standpoint. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're from, Meta's not good. So part of Trump's reversal may have nothing to do with TikTok directly, but more to do with Meta. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of Zuckerberg or his company. I think Meta has done a lot of shady things and has, over the years, leaned very hard on the political system to make sure these shady things didn't lead to negative consequences for the company. I don't necessarily believe that Meta has intentionally tried to sway politics one way or the other, apart from, you know, favoring Meta's business practices. But I do think tons of parties with various motivations have leveraged Meta's platforms in order to manipulate voters, and Meta has not done enough to counter that. Anyway, it's interesting to see that Donald Trump hasn't addressed TikTok's link to China, which, of course, is what he cited as his concern back in that executive order in 2020. He hasn't talked about that really at all. Instead, he's talked about how kids love the app and how TikTok's absence would benefit Meta. It actually would be pretty easy for Donald Trump to acknowledge TikTok's efforts to comply with U.S. concerns, you know, with Project Texas. I think that would actually go a long way to stop people from asking how his view could change so dramatically in 4 years. And if he just said, look, TikTok took strides to protect U.S. interests, like they spent more than $1 billion to do so. If he said that, I think that would go a long way to assuaging the concerns about potential hypocrisy. And that's where we are. That's the technical and political situation here in the United States with regard to TikTok. Will the Senate follow the House of Representatives' lead and pass the bill? That's not certain. I have my doubts because, again, I think senators are going to worry about the political fallout if they make that kind of decision. If it weren't an election year, I think things could potentially go a lot differently, but because it's an election year, and because people are worried that would have an impact on the elections, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know that this bill's going to go any further. As for the idea of the U.S. government stepping in to force a foreign-owned company to divest itself of a property that is within the United States borders, that actually has a precedence. Like, it might seem like that's overstepping your bounds to, like, wrench assets from a company that is foreign-based, but it's happened in America before. Famously, during World War I, the United States Navy essentially took over civilian radio stations that belonged to the Marconi Company, America's branch of the Marconi Company, which was based largely out of the UK, but also in other places. And after World War I, instead of returning those stations to the American Marconi Company, the Navy at first wanted to retain control of those radio stations. They were not allowed to do that. And so ultimately, General Electric stepped in and formed the Radio Corporation of America. And these previously foreign-owned radio stations became American-owned. There's an entire Tech Stuff episode about that in the archives if you want to learn more about the Radio Corporation of America, or RCA. So yeah, there is precedence for this. It's not like this kind of thing is completely unheard of. Again, in my own personal opinion, although I'm not a fan of TikTok, I feel like it does a lot of harm. I also have to admit, one, the ACLU argues that TikTok has First Amendment rights and that a lot of this bill essentially is ignoring that, and so it's unconstitutional. I acknowledge that there are a lot of people who make a living on TikTok, and it does seem unfair to just deny them their living. I don't really like that either. And also, as I've said multiple times in this episode, the problems that leaders cite with TikTok are so much bigger than TikTok. And they go so far beyond a single platform and have nothing to do with, you know, whether the ownership is domestic or foreign. it's such a smokescreen. It doesn't really matter because we have this much larger issue with the way our data gets collected and bought and sold that have nothing to do directly with the platforms themselves, apart from the fact that the platforms are sort of the siphon pulling all the data into the system. So yeah, I think this bill's misplaced. And it's not because I'm a TikTok fan, but because I think it's not looking at the real issue. It's not looking at the big picture. And I worry that it'll be ages before the United States takes a serious look at the big picture, largely because a lot of the leaders in the U.S. government are old and they don't have a full understanding or appreciation for the tech ecosystem that exists that powers all of this. And it's going to take a while before you have folks who do have that appreciation to be in seats of power. So yeah, pretty rough week in tech from the U.S. political perspective. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the following months, whether or not senators will handle this or back away from it like it's radioactive, if it will have any impact in the actual election process later in the year. But that's it. That was our one big news item for this week that I really wanted to tackle. I originally was going to put in some other news items at the end, but I realized that this was just such a huge topic that I wouldn't really have space for it. But next week, we should be back to doing other tech news episodes. We'll also have parts 2 and 3 of the Rooster Teeth story. And my dog will hopefully apply to be an official correspondent as opposed to just insisting that he be part of this. I hope you are all well, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.